bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 170, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 170.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, and thereof the 34th chapter, Ezekiel 34. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and will bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. and to have drunk of the deep waters, but must ye foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them the place and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who art that great shepherd of thy people, of thy church from the beginning unto the end, and thou who dost send forth thy under shepherds, a great responsibility is placed upon our shoulders, in which we as men are not able to bear alone. O Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou mayest remember us to give us thy grace and thy spirit in a rich measure, that we might know how to lead thy flock, and that thou mayest send also forth in the midst of our denominations and our mission field, men who indeed will not feed themselves, but who will feed the flock. And thou hast always thine eye upon those lean cattle. Thou wilt judge between the cattle and the cattle. Oh, thou wilt judge, O Lord, for there are those who are the fat cattle, and they do eat up the grass, and then it is not enough for them that they take all, but they will trample upon the residue that is left, the little bit that is left for those lean cattle. For those weak ones, O Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, they must, they do feed off of the crumbs, and they do live off of them. For, oh, then it seems to them that they do get sufficient to stay alive, but no more. O thou knowest what thou doest, O Lord, and thou dost make those crumbs to be so helpful for them here below, to keep them in that spiritual life, and never to be able to lift themselves up with their fatness. Oh, then everything must come from thee, and they must remain a beggar here upon the world, and that every little bit they may receive out of thy hand, and that they may receive also a little faith to receive it from thee. O thou who art that great shepherd, who has promised so long ago, as we have heard, that thou wouldest come, and that thou wouldest do judgment, and that thou wouldest feed thy flock in truth. Oh, that thou mayest also show thyself in our days, show thyself unto thy own lean ones and to thy own weak ones. Oh, is it not thy true church, O Lord, that are never able to lift themselves up on their own account? Oh, that they might yet feed out of thy hand this day, that thou mayest have yet something to say unto them who have no strength and who have no wisdom, who have no righteousness within themselves, for whom everything is so impossible from their own side, and who do fear continually that it was nothing and is nothing and shall never be anything. O Lord, thou knowest that they do fear, that it is no life at all that is from thee, and so many questions and riddles are living so often within their hearts, because it is not the way that they thought that it would go. Oh, they thought to go in a way of great prosperity, and not to be living always just on the edge. O Lord, thou must keep thy people each and every day, and thou wilt keep them close to thee, and thou wilt keep them in a way of true dependence, and thou wilt make them to cry out for thy help and for thy guidance and for thy grace and for thy mercy. Oh, that it might be experienced that also in this day a little bit may be seen, may be received by a true and a living faith. Oh, from their side it is nothing, but thou didst say to that woman, great is thy faith. O Lord, thou knowest what thou givest unto thy own. O, and it is all so impossible from the side of a man. O, then just to lay everything in thy hands, thou who art that great shepherd of thy sheep, and to say, Lord, wilt thou forgive me, and wilt thou wash me and cleanse me, and wilt thou take me into thine arms and carry me who is not able to walk. Oh, that thou mayest look upon each and every one of us. Oh, teach us, Lord, and lead us into thy blessed flock, for thou art a great and tender shepherd, who dost carry the little lambs in thine arms, and who teaches and instructs thy sheep how that they might walk. Oh, give a true growing in grace, that there might be a continual dependence upon thee, for thy sheep remain sheep. Oh, then they are never able to leave that fold and to find their own way anymore. No, it is not in their character. Lord, thou canst not leave them to go on their own. They must always abide within thy fences. Oh, that thou mayest instruct them, and oh, that the people may become more and more poor in themselves, that they might live and die as a beggar, and that all may come from the gifts of that great shepherd. Oh, that thou may look upon each one of us, Oh, thou knowest that we are not sheep by nature. Oh, Lord, thou knowest that if nothing takes place in our life, and then we shall be a goat placed on thy left hand on that great judgment day. Oh, Lord, we cannot make ourselves from a goat to a sheep, but that is all in thy hand. Oh, that thou may give a great attendance upon the means of grace, and a looking up unto thee who hast all the power and all the might, who dost sit on that great throne, all power being given unto thee in heaven and in earth, to raise the dead, even the dead dry bones, and to give unto them flesh. Oh, thou art able to breathe into them, that they might receive spirit and that they might live. Oh, and Lord, it would be so to thy glory, when they might come from the east and from the west and sit down in the kingdom of Abraham, with Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. Lord, that we and our children may also be found among them. Look thou upon all the needs and the cares of each and every one in our flock, O Lord, that thou may give in the miseries of this life each one of us under our own crosses of heart and home to look up unto thee, who art not only the God of our creation, but also the God of providence, and without whom nothing takes place, not a man lifts a finger in the midst of this world, so that there is no man, enemy, or devil that is able to come against us, except thou dost give thy permission. O Lord, that thou would watch over each one of us and all the things that we must endure as the consequences of our sin in this life, and that it all might be as a fatherly hand, and that is laid upon us for the profit of our poor, never dying souls. Oh, that we may receive therefrom a blessing from thee, even in the midst of the rod that we have to endure, and that it might keep us from following after all the vanities of this world and all the sin that is so set before us in all of our prosperity. Oh, give our youth and our children to see where is that great treasure at the right hand of God. Oh, that their hearts might be there even in the days of their youth, and that we may be kept, each one of us as parents and as grandparents. Oh, that we may be given to be a living example, that we are seeking that kingdom that cannot be moved. Lord, that thou may look upon all the needy, the widows, widowers, orphans, all that need thee in special ways, the two little infants in our midst, in the hospitals where they are, with their parents, care for them. Remember those that mourn. Look upon the children and youth that have struggles, questions, and perplexities in the times of their youth. Care for all those that are abused in this world. Wilt thou look upon our school, the teachers, and all those that labor therein? Wilt thou give that also this labor may be laid upon as a burden the young people, the young men and the young women, that there may be those who may go forth to do this most necessary work in the raising of our children, to stand before them in the classrooms, a place of great responsibility. Lord, give a heart for it, for thou knowest the great need in our denomination, and that it is an increasing need. Oh, that thou may remember us in thy mercy. Do look upon us in this hour. Lord, care for us when we are bringing and hearing thy holy word. Oh, that thou may be in our midst as one that serveth. O come thou with thy spirit, open our closed mouth, and wilt thou give that thy spirit may be effectually and powerfully and favorably present in the midst of us, both young and old. Give that all things may be done decently and in order in thy service. Help us in the leading of thy word and of this singing, and may thy name be magnified and glorified in all things in thy house, and that those that come up here in this day, oh, that they truly may be fed, and that they may be satisfied with good things. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is received, we'll sing from the Song of Zacharias, stanzas 1-7. And now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear. At our last male members meeting, Mr. David Arnold Dusen was reelected to the office of elder and was able to accept this office. Installation will take place, the Lord willing, on the afternoon service of January 12. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by this coming Tuesday. The Song of Zacharias, 1-7. Beloved congregation, Isaiah prophesied of the new king that righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, that is, in his judgments, that he is going to judge the poor in righteousness. Forgiveness for that church is going to be for them done in a legal way. There is no accusation that is going to be justly laid against that people and prevail. All of the iniquity and all of the sin of that church is going to be paid for fully. Do you desire such a payment for yourself? Then we have to stand together at that righteous judgment of God. And then we have to stand at the last day and in the day of our death before that most glorious throne. Why? Why do you desire such a forgiveness? What is your motive for such a desire? Shimei also wanted to be forgiven. What did Shimei not care for? Shimei did not want to be changed. He did not want to be changed. He only did not want to be punished. And so we have, each one of us, a very important point of examination. Whether it is only our punishment that is to us a grief, or whether it is truly our sin, whether it is truly our nature that is to us a grief. And if truly we have in our heart no desire for a change within ourselves of our life, of our heart, are we not then justly condemned by God? Isaiah does not merely prophesy of a righteous judgment. Isaiah also prophesies of a change in that kingdom, and how that change is going to come about. And so we may lay our hearts next to this in this afternoon hour. Our text can be found in Isaiah 11 once again. Isaiah 11, and thereof the 9th verse. Isaiah 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So far the words of our text. The character of Christ's kingdom. First, the blessedness of this character. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The blessedness of this character. And second, the cause of this character. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The cause of this character. The character of Christ's kingdom. First, the blessedness. Second, the cause of this character. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Who is that that shall not hurt nor destroy? We read that here in these previous verses. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, And the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Who can imagine that? Such a world. Certainly that is not a world that we are living in, because our shepherds, boys and girls, if you will go to our shepherds, you will find that they have dogs. And those dogs are there for a purpose, because they will protect the flock against the wolves, against the leopards, that they will chase them away, because those animals are an imminent threat unto their flock. And thus, our text speaks about a great change. It is actually for us a change that is not imaginable. And if we read about it sometimes, you see that sometimes children in the news or elsewhere, then you see, well, there is a lion and another little tender animal, like another animal that he would normally eat, and they are together. They are together. And they are laying next to each other, and the lion is not hurting at all. You say that is worthy of the news. That is not the kind of world that we live in. Thus, that is a description here of a change in the very nature of these animals. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Thus, that is a great change in the very nature of that lion. It is not so that he is not a lion anymore. No, he remains a lion, but his nature, his very nature of the lion has changed. So all that viciousness that was in his nature, that is taken away, and that animal has become very docile. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. What would you do, mothers, if your children, your little child, your infant, he comes near to a snake's nest, and he put his hand, he wants to play there by that snake's nest, then you would run, and you would take your child away, but not here. No, all the fear is gone. There is no need for a fence. Not at all. There is no need for any protections, a border, because all of the dangers are removed. And how are they removed? Well, they're removed simply by changing the very nature of the beasts, the lions, the wolves, the bears, the leopards, the poisonous snakes. So we have a prophecy of Isaiah concerning the consequences. We heard last week that king was being prophesied of, that he was going to come and rule. And now we're going to see something of how and that kingdom over which he is given to rule, how everything in that kingdom is going to change, and that effect is going to be an effect upon the very nature of the inhabitants of that kingdom. Does he then speak about animals? Well, yes, later on Isaiah speaks about the new heavens, we read, and the new earth, wherein it says, dwelleth righteousness. And then he speaks again of the wolf and the lamb feeding together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. Boys and girls, dust. He doesn't eat the dust now. He eats things that are alive, and that we are afraid of that serpent. And then in that new heavens and that new earth, that is quite the mystery. We do not know exactly how things are going to be when the Lord word restores the universe. And certainly, however, and the Lord is speaking here about more than animals. Thus, the Lord speaks here in a figurative way, generally about the peace that is going to come under the reign of this new king. The rule of new king is going to subdue the viciousness that is in the hearts of men. He is going to renew the very nature that a man has and that he is born with, as he is born into this world dead in trespasses and in sins, and not only dead and in passive deadness, no, but he is in a vicious deadness. It is a spiritual death. It is a spiritual enmity. There is a fighting against the Lord. There is a hatred against him and against his kingdom. And the Lord is going to subdue this. It is not that they are not going to be human beings anymore, no. But it means that their very nature is going to be renewed. So what is that? Oh, they are going to receive a new heart, boys and girls. They are going to receive a new will. They are going to receive a new love. A new affections and new desires. They're going to receive a new understanding. They're going to receive a new will, new choices they are going to make. Oh, has the Lord given unto you also such a new heart? Taken away the viciousness and the enmity that is living in your heart against the Lord. And to give unto you this new nature. Isaiah says nation is not going to lift up sword against nation anymore. They're not going to learn war anymore. Those swords are going to be beaten into plowshares. Their spears are going to be beaten into pruning hooks. Oh, what does that mean? Well, they say we don't need that anymore. They are instruments of war. And now we are going to use them as instruments of peace. And we are going to till the land. And we are going to grow food for ourselves and for others. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. That is in the mountain of my holiness. That is in my church, that is in my kingdom, that is in my house, and that is in the midst of my people. What kind of kingdom is that? Oh, that is, we read, a spiritual kingdom. The Lord Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And thus, he brings that vicious human nature to fall under the power of this king. He makes a Saul into a Paul. We know that Ananias did not want to go. He said, I have heard many things of this man. I do not dare. The Lord says, you must go to him. I do not dare do that. He is going to kill me. And the Lord said, no, Ananias, you do not need to be afraid of him anymore. Why not? He is a chosen vessel unto me. And thus, oh, he is not just forgiven. No, he is changed. Manasseh, oh, what a vicious nature that he had. Slaying the people of the Lord, the prophet of the Lord. Oh, then the Lord comes. And then the Lord brings him into prison. The Lord stops him and he changes him. He changes his nature. He becomes a new man. Thus the Lord is not only going to forgive the sin of his church and then allow all of that sin just to continue. No, he is going to deliver them from their sins. If the Lord would allow that sin to keep going, and then the Lord would never achieve his purpose, because his purpose is not simply that he may take away punishment. That is not simply that he may relieve of the sentence that is pronounced against us because of our guilt, that he may make man free, but he is going to make him free indeed, not free to sin, but free not to sin. Thus the Lord is going to begin to deliver him, and so it is taking place already in that beginning, in the day of that new birth. Oh, then that sanctification that is already beginning in the life of that boy, in the life of that girl. You know what you see, children? You know what you hear, young people? They say to you, oh no, I do not want to go there anymore. No, don't you go there either. We should not go there. And then they do not go along. And why is that? Why is that? Oh, it is because there is a beginning already. That is a beginning of sanctification. That is a beginning of fleeing from those ways of sin. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What is that? That is the second table of that holy law of God. They shall not hurt or destroy. That is all of those six commandments that are on that table. That is to love my neighbor as myself. They will not hurt their neighbor, and they will not destroy their neighbor. Thus, you have the end. Thus, you have the purpose for which the Lord is forgiving his people. What is that purpose? That is to bring them back unto the law of God. Paul says the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and it is just, and it is good. And there is no more blessed society, community, that may be living under and may be living according to that holy law of God. That is a society where you need no fences. Why not? Because it is all love. It is all love. And if it is all love, then also all fear that is disappearing. So those that are most vulnerable, those who are the weakest, those who are typically ones who are being abused, are the sucking child. The sucking child who cannot defend himself. He will play on that hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Oh, that true church, they are just like little children. Just like little children, they are not able to defend themselves. And what does the Lord say to those who cannot defend themselves? He says, I will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. They shall not hurt, they shall not destroy in all my holy mountain. And, he says, a little child shall lead them. What does that mean? He will make them so meek. He will make them teachable. Are you teachable? We are not so teachable. Oh, the Lord has his word. And what have we learned? And how many years have we been under the preaching of that holy word of God? And you say, oh, I've learned much. Yes, learned much in our mind. But what have we now learned in our heart? And now when that king is coming, He is going to make that people teachable. He is going to instruct them within his heart. Saul was a proud Pharisee, a learned Pharisee. Who could teach him anymore? But then the Lord comes, and the Lord lays that man low. And then he becomes so willing to be instructed by the servant of the Lord, Ananias. Then he can speak to him, because then we have congregation, not a people who know it. No, it becomes just the opposite. Now you have a people who do not know it anymore, and that do lose their all their own wisdom. And so, and then you can take that people just by the hand. Oh, they are a people that are always going back unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, wilt thou teach me? Wilt thou lead me? Wilt thou guide me into all thy truth? What a change. The renewal of the will of a man. Oh, you say, how is that possible? How can I change? Do you say that? You say, I am so carnal, and I cannot give love for myself, in myself, for the Lord. I cannot change the corruption of my heart. I cannot take away from myself the desires that are after this world. No, the Lord does not say that you have to do that. The Lord does not expect that from you. The Lord knows that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. What is the Lord promising here? By the mouth of Isaiah, he is promising to send a new king. A king who has power. The arrows, they are going to enter into the heart of whom? The king's enemies, and the people are going to fall under him. Do you say, I am one of them? I am one of those king's enemies. I need to be struck. Yes, that is what the Lord is going to do. And that king is going to be anointed. He is going to be anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. It is going to be the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It is going to make him of quick understanding in that fear of the Lord. Say, we will not judge after the sight of his eyes. That is now the king. That is now he who is able to change your very heart by that Spirit that is going to rest upon him. Then is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? There is not a lion, there is not a bear, there is not a serpent, there is not an asp, there is not a cockatrice whom he is not able to change and to tame. Let us sing 198, 4, 5, and 6. Like copious rain in time of dearth, so shall his gracious coming be. As gentle showers that cheer the earth, so he will bring prosperity. 4, 5, and 6 of 198. character of Christ's kingdom first, the blessedness of this character. Second, the cause of this character. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Where does this peace flow out of? It cannot appear, congregation, until sin is taken out of the way. Why? Because sin is the disruptor of all peace. Ever feel that, young people? You ever feel that? When you sin, you say, I have no more peace. No, you have no more peace in your heart. No more peace in your soul. No more peace in your conscience. Thus we say, where can that peace come from? It can only come from one place. Why? Because Moses, we read in God's word, was a mediator of intercession. That is to intercede, that is to pray for someone else. And Moses, and when the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses that he was going to destroy them all and make of him a great nation, then what happened? Moses prayed. And Moses said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. He wanted to stand in the place of that people, but the Lord would not allow it. Moses, he could not be a mediator of reconciliation. He could not reconcile that people unto God because Moses was himself a sinner. You say, Moses has an office. Yes. All reconciliation of the church, that takes not one office. That takes three offices. All of those offices are necessary in order that that church may be reconciled unto God. Prophet, priest, and king. And there is only one person in whom all those three offices abide. Peace with my neighbor, even as love to my neighbor, is flowing out of peace with God. Even as out of love unto God. And thus Isaiah speaks here about the cause. For the earth shall be full the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Thus, that coming king into the world, he is going to usher in a new time. He is going to usher in a new dispensation. And when that knowledge of the Lord is going to go out from that people of Israel, and it is going to extend into all the world, so it is going to become an ecclesiastical church, a church that is over all of the nations of the world, that the Lord is going to declare, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. No, that will not only be to that nation of the Jews anymore. And now that peace, that true peace, is flowing out of the knowledge of the Lord, it says here. That is first between the soul and God. Thus, it is a peace that is within. And then, by consequence of this, there is a peace, congregation, with the whole world. What kind of knowledge? is now working that peace? Is that historical knowledge? We all have that. That cannot give us peace. Or am I wrong? Does that historical knowledge, the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge that that Word of God is true and being fulfilled, we see that all around us. You say that does not give peace in my soul. No, it does not change my relation to God. Because what is peace? Peace is a relation. You say, I have peace between myself and him or her. So there must be a change in the relation with someone else. What now changes our relation? That is justification. That is forgiveness. That is changing our relation to the law. Instead of being guilty and the law being against us, in justification we are acquitted and the law is coming on our side. So there is a whole change in the relation to the law in justification. And that change is making way for that reconciliation with God. But there can be no communion with him outside of sanctification, unless we also are given by the Lord a new nature, the knowledge of the Lord. What is that? You know, we say that so often. The Lord Jesus, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Thus, the knowledge of the Lord. And if we go back to Reverend Hallenbrook in his catechism, then he says we must know the Lord in his essence and in his names and in his attributes and in his persons. So there are many aspects of God that are necessary to know, and that is now not just a knowledge in our mind. We said that is a knowledge of our heart. That is the knowledge of a new relation. And there are many aspects of that relation that are necessary for us to know. Judas knew the Lord. In what way? In his justice. In his justice. But he did not know him in his mercy. He did not know him in his grace. What do you think then, boys and girls? Did Judas really know the Lord? He said, no. He did not really know him. Maybe you say that too. Somebody says, oh, I know your father. I have met him once. I have business dealings with him. And what would you say? Oh man, but you do not know my father. You do not know my father like I do know my father. Why? Because there is a relation. And now Judas did not know the Lord, did he? No, there was no new relation there between him and the Lord. Thus, he also did not know something else. He did not know the peace. That peace that is flowing out of that new relation with him. Isaiah says, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No matter how we try to silence our conscience, we can never put the fire out. You can never put the fire out. Oh, how many of us have not tried that, to put that fire out over and over again. Is it any wonder that such a man with a burning conscience would appear as a lion, would appear as a bear in the midst of this world? What do we read of the devil himself? That he goes about as a roaring lion. Satan can never know peace. Why not? Because there is no peace proffered unto him. There was no sacrifice that was made for him. There is no preaching of mercy and of grace in hell. No, that is reserved for others. It is reserved for mankind. Is the Lord just? Oh, is the Lord ever just? And is the Lord ever sovereign? Can the devil say, oh, it is the Lord, he does not want to give that to me. Can he come against the Lord with an accusation that is right? Say no. Because it is the devil's own fault that is right. It's our fault too. It's our fault too. And neither can we come with a single accusation against the Lord. Oh, that a man would come to know the Lord and become even as a lamb. Oh, has one ground, and that is coming from God himself. Oh, what does that do to us? What do you say about that? When the Lord gives to us congregation an opportunity that he never gives to the devil. When he sets that before us. Oh, have we not done as the devil? Have we not followed the devil? Have we not made him in paradise our king and our prince? And do we not do that every day? With the desires of our heart, following after everything that the devil is setting before us in the midst of this world, and doing that with all the desires that are living within our hearts? Does the Lord owe the devil anything? Does the Lord owe us anything? And yet, oh, yet he lays before us the preaching of his only begotten Son. Oh, he proffers peace and pardon unto us. Oh, what does that now do to us? Does the goodness of the Lord not lead us to repentance? And a blessed opportunity, very, very short, between the cradle and the grave. We do not know how long, no, we do not know how short it is, how short that it is, and what are now we doing with it? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's church is a remnant, and yet it is going to be a great multitude, we read in God's word, that no man can number. And every single one of them is going to come to know the Lord. You know who will be there? Murderers. Murderers. Adulterers. Thieves, liars, covetous, they're going to be there. And they're going to come to know him, to know him. They're going to come to know him in his justice, that God is just. But do you know what else they're going to come to know? That he is also the justifier. The justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Oh, they are going to know that. Oh, they are going to come to know his preciousness, his suitability, the necessity of him, even for such a one as I am. You know what they're going to come to know? They're going to come to know that peace in their soul that passes all understanding. Their soul is going to magnify the Lord, and it is going to rejoice in God their Savior. Oh, they're going to come to know what it is to bow their necks under the yoke of this king, and to become from a lion into a lamb. O congregation, will we be found among that people? Will we be also one of them? Or then we will be able to speak about what we were, what that history was, that is not going to be good. Oh, no, we don't need to say that all, because it is only the filth of our hearts and that would be spilled upon the streets of Ashkelon. But let that people look within themselves. Oh, what is now the great change that the Lord has done unto that people. Oh, and now Isaiah sets it before us. He sets it before us, congregation, just like a beautiful picture. A picture of peace. A picture of tranquility. A picture of rest. It is indeed the picture of that promised land. That promised land of Canaan. And all brought about by the renewal of the heart of a beast. Oh, congregation. Is there now anything within your soul in this day that is going out after such a change? Oh Lord, if thou couldst take the heart of this beast and that thou couldst renew it, to make it into a new heart, to make it into a tender heart, to make it into a soft heart, oh, a heart that is full of love for thee. Do you despair of that? You say, I cannot do that. No. No. And if the Lord knew that you could, he would not have appointed. And he would not have qualified his only begotten son, that he may do it for you. He would not have anointed him with his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Oh, is there any end to that? Can we get into that? The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Oh, there is nothing, congregation, that he is not able to do. No, you do not need to doubt his ability. Do you doubt that? Do you doubt his ability? Do you doubt his wisdom? Do you doubt that spirit, that anointing that he was given, and that he is able also to change your heart? Do you doubt his willingness to change someone as you are? Oh, but did he not just come for such a purpose as this? Why else did he descend from heaven? And why else was he laid there in that manger, in that filthy stable? Oh, is there then anything that is now beyond his capability? Do you know what Job said? He said, I abhor myself. I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. And then you read immediately thereon that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Amen. Oh Lord, grant us so to abhor ourselves, to repent in dust and in ashes before Thee, and that Thou wouldst also turn our captivity. Wilt Thou send Thy Spirit to us and our children, and wilt Thou give that influence, and that will be more powerful than all the obstacles that are within us. For Thou sayest, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And Lord, Thou knowest what our will is. It is not a will to come, but Thou dost change the will. Oh, draw us then, and we will run after Thee. Bless Thy word to that end. Look upon us further in this Thy holy day. Give us meditation upon Thy word of truth, and supply for all the needs in the week to come. And wilt Thou be with the student and the instructors when they will gather for his examination in mid-year. And Lord, wilt Thou keep us when we travel also to that place, bring us safely home again, and give him what is necessary to be examined, and those that examine him, and that Thou wouldst be in our midst, send forth more laborers into Thy vineyard. And wilt Thou keep each one in all the work of our hands at school and in the home and in our labors in the midst of this world? And wilt Thou remember the needy? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 231:4-7. Lord, Thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. And Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1:4, 5, 6, and 7 of 230. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.